Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Firstly, why is it so difficult to create accessible formats from existing copyrighted works?
Because copyright regulates when you can make a copy of something. So if you think about a book, we would normally buy the physical copy or borrow the physical copy and be able to read it. But for people who have a disability or an impairment that makes it hard for them to read as we might, they use different formats. So they might use Braille, they might use an audio book, or they might use a program on their computer that can read a PDF or of an electronic copy of the book to them. And any of those different formats require making a copy of the book. And making a copy is an infringement of copyright unless you have the permission of the copyright owner or you have some other excuse or exception under law that lets you do that.
Educational institutes are able to reproduce accessible copies of books, but where are we seeing readers or potential readers with these disabilities being let down?
Well, previously, so you mentioned that Australia has amended our act to make this easier, which is excellent, because previously people with a print disability could only access a book through what we call a statutory license, which means that normally their educational institution or a library would need to pay a fee to get access to the book in the format that they needed. And this was possible, but it firstly required payment, and secondly, there were often conditions imposed on the version of the book. So, for example, what was really common and what caused a lot of problems was that copyright owners, so publishers normally, were a bit worried about there being a whole bunch of electronic versions of books that might leak, essentially, so that people without a print disability might be able to get access to electronic books for free. So they would require the copies that the print disabled people use to be returned or destroyed after their use. So even if there were students who needed the same book over different semesters, that book would often have to be redigitized each time. And that takes time. So sometimes readers and especially students could not get access to the books they needed in a sufficient time. It could take them up to halfway through a semester to get access to the textbooks they needed.
And obviously we're talking education students here, but that's educational books, educational institutes. I imagine reading for pleasure, reading for leisure, is obviously a great deal more difficult with these restrictions.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So what actually is changed by these amendments? As I say, Australia might have looked at this already, but it's currently under the microscope in New Zealand. What's actually being changed?
So New Zealand is proposing to do something very similar to what Australia already did in 2017. And what we did to our Copyright Act was introduce two new sections that provided exceptions to infringement for people with a disability or for organisations assisting those people. So what those provisions say is that it is not against copyright law for a person with a disability to make a copy of copyright material to give them access to that material. So they can make a copy in the format that they need to be able to read or consume that work. And another provision does much the same thing, but provides an exception for organisations who are helping persons with a disability. Mm. New Zealand is proposing to do actually much the same thing, but I've had a look through their draft legislation, and it's actually a bit more complex and limited than what we have in Australia. One thing that the government did really well with our exceptions was that they just said persons with a disability. They didn't constrain that to only people who are vision impaired, which I think makes it a lot more able to be used for people who might have problems getting access to copyright material for whatever reason.
So a little bit of a head scratcher. I mean, one imagines, you know, if you can't use your hands to turn a page, you'd also appreciate this kind of implementation.
Yeah, exactly.
So just on a final point, and this may be slightly outside the wheelhouse, but you mentioned organisations that are obviously deeply involved with this kind of thing. Is it being left to the demands of educational institutes, the demands of the market to produce these kinds of things? Or for those who would like to read for leisure, read for whatever reason, let's not question it, but have these kinds of impairments, are there individuals and organisations that are really, you know, spearheading, I guess, this kind of access for all kinds of books and all kinds of readers?
Yeah, as you said, it's a little bit of a question with multiple parts. Our legislation within Australia allows organisations who are educational institutions or who are not-for-profit organisations with the function of assisting persons with a disability. So Vision Australia or something would be able to do that. But one thing that the Marrakesh Treaty does is that it says that countries and people and organisations should be able to share these resources across borders. So previously, if a book was digitised in the United States, that would be no good to us in Australia because you couldn't share that across borders. Now that's becoming easier. So there are organisations internationally who are spearheading this, and some of them are even commercial organisations. So the Hathi Trust is not a commercial organisation, but they work closely with Google to digitise books, which are now more accessible to people worldwide. So there are some movements around the world.
Tremendous. Well, Kylie, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us, having a chat about this very important one. Really do appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.